Welcome back to Head Games Radio. We'll be getting to the NFL playoffs in our next segment. But before that, we love our Major League Hot Stove with Jim Beatty. Jim, how's your offseason going? Are you getting close to being an integral part of another organization?
Well, Nick, as you know, I've got some conversations going on, but on different levels. And so I think probably it's all on hold, but I'm exploring a few other things outside of baseball as well, just in case. And it's been interesting.
Well, we just want to keep people realizing what a great talent you are, and we appreciate you joining the show. Tell us, first of all, let's start with the Roger Clemens thing. It just seems like old home week. Every week there's an older player in his 40s who's a Cy Young Award winner, whether it's the big unit last week. This week the talk is about Roger Clemens. Tell us what the chances in your view are that he might indeed return to Boston.
Well, you know, I think it's just an indication, first off, with respect to these older guys still having a lot of value and interest from clubs. It just tells you how little pitching there is out there. And so getting to the Red Sox interest, I think they have a lot of interest. Their starting pitching needs more help. The Yankees, however, have a lot of interest as well. I think dollar-wise, it really doesn't depend a lot on that. I think everybody's going to be probably in the same situation with respect to what he did last year. His contract will be some prorated portion of a $20 to $25 million contract. I think Roger understands that he's not ready to pitch a full year, probably doesn't even want to pitch a full year. But they know that he can come out and he can help them win some ball games, especially down the stretch. Now the big question is, will they be in the hunt down the stretch? And that's what they've got to work on as well, just signing Roger Clemens.
Don't you think, though, that if you're the Red Sox, you're going to ask him to at least come through by late May, not mid-June? I mean, that is an awful long time. That's 10 weeks of not helping your team.
Well, they can ask whatever they want, but Roger's in a position, I think, where he can kind of set his own framework. So I don't know. You know, I've known Roger off and on over the years. He is certainly a guy that is of his own mind, and I know he probably perplexes his agents at some point where they don't know what his intentions are. But I think Pettit going back to New York matters probably more to him than maybe returning to Red Sox, a Red Sox uniform. I don't think his time in Boston was as enjoyable as his time in a Yankee uniform.
Well, let's move on to Bob Nightingale's article in USA Today, starting off saying they exchanged handshake agreements, settled on financial terms, and spread the word they had landed marquee free agents. But less than a month before spring training, both Barry Bonds and J.D. Drew remain free agents, neither having signed a contract. Tell us about that situation.
Well, for different reasons. In Bonds' case, the team, the Giants, knew him. They knew his medical history. So they were trying to do a couple things with their contract. One is to make sure that the entire amount isn't guaranteed if he has relapses of his medical problems. The other part of that, hanging out there like a black cloud over Barry and a few other players that we probably don't know about, is the idea of being tested positive, whether his name comes up in the Balco class / steroid investigation more, and there's some truth to it. That's yet to be seen, but they don't want to be stuck if he cannot play because of all of the outside things going on. Now, J.D. Drew is a little different because he had agreed to a contract, and I think primarily it was pretty much done. He then came in for a physical, and the physical did not please the Red Sox, gave them a little more information, and so they are now trying to structure a contract with J.D. Drew that says, you've had some past problems. If those past problems don't play out as well as you're telling us, we also don't want to be on the on the paycheck for a guaranteed part of that. If you have a new problem, certainly, and you're playing, and it's because of your playing now, we'll guarantee the money. But if he had shoulder surgery on his right shoulder that is probably still balky, the Red Sox are balking at the idea of guaranteeing the money because of that right now. And whenever you try to put legal language together with medical language, it's a very gray area, so it takes a long time, but it already has been a long time. In J.D. Drew's case, it's been over a month, and so they really have to move on.
How difficult has this been for Boston? It seems that both the Yankees and the Red Sox have not necessarily, if it's true that Drew has this issue, that they really haven't strengthened their team in the way that has seemed to be the case the last couple years.
Well, it's true. I mean, we haven't seen them make big splashes except for the Red Sox with Daisuke. They went out and got him, spent a lot of money on him. They needed to, but they also needed a bat in there as well. And so I think they don't feel the pressure, but I know they want to go out and do something. With the Yankees case, though, I think they were just trying to get younger. They got Pettit back. They, in taking Randy Johnson and shipping him to Arizona, they got some young prospects. That's about it. But what they really did was clear money off their payroll. Not that that ever really matters to the Yankees, but who knows? Maybe George is getting a little bit tired of paying some of that money, but if he's going to pay a guy $15 to $20 million, he probably wants more than 10 or 12 wins from him. So he's going to try to spend his money a little bit more efficiently, and I think Brian Cashman out there is trying to add as much pitching as he can, because he certainly doesn't want to rely on Carl Pavano and the new pitcher from Japan to be their fourth and fifth starters.
Which team at this point, now that we've progressed another 4 or 5 weeks down the road, Jim, do you think has strengthened themselves the most this offseason?
Well, I guess if you're talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees, I think you've got to take a look at clubs that had to do something, like the Cubs. Certainly they did some things. They kept their third baseman Ramirez. They signed Soriano to a huge contract. But I think if you take a look around, there have been a lot of clubs that have just kind of switched some of their parts. I still kind of like some of the things that the Dodgers have done, especially with the Dodger pitching. They've got in losing Maddox, but signing Schmidt, they've got some good starting pitching over there, and really have some young, great young pitchers coming up, and some young players as well. So I still like the Dodgers' chances out there. I like what Ned Colletti has done in trying to spend his money wisely and trying to improve their ball club, and especially in that division. It's going to be a tough row. I think the Padres as well have done some things, but the Padres are always kind of in it. So I expect those two guys to be battling for the top of that division throughout most of the summer.
And then there's, speaking of older players, the situation with Sammy Sosa, the Rangers trying to develop a minor league deal with him. What are the chances that Sammy Sosa is going to be able to show anything in the last couple years of his career?
Well, I had Sammy in Baltimore his last year. He was hurt quite a bit. He had some weird injuries, but he was hurt quite a bit. He really had slow bat speed. There are places where you could pitch him that you could tell him the pitch, a fastball was coming. He could not get around on it. So I don't know if that bat speed is going to be able to come back. He has taken some time off. Maybe he's gotten himself into good shape, but it wasn't because of being in bad shape before that he couldn't perform. He just couldn't catch up to a good fastball, and he was swinging at a lot of bad pitches because of it, getting behind in the count and then swinging at a lot of bad breaking balls out of the strike zone. But it's probably a no-lose situation for the Rangers. He was originally signed by the Rangers as a young player out of the Dominican, and if he comes to camp, from what I understand, he's going to be a non-roster player. About the only thing that you kind of wince at there is the distraction that Sammy Sosa in camp will be to your team, and whether you want that, because they have some pretty good young players over there, and they're trying to build. They've done some good things with their starting pitching to make themselves better as well. So how Sammy fits into that will yet to be seen, but he's a pretty good guy, and he works hard.
Well, final comment for you. You know, in the NFL, they're making a move now that if a player tests positive, like Sean Merriman, he's not going to be available in the future for voting for the Pro Bowl. Do you think that that's going to happen in Major League Baseball, or is that already in place, where if a player tests positive, he cannot be part of the All-Star team?
Well, I don't know if that's as big a deal, to be
honest.
Got
about 15 seconds.
With some of their players, I think they're more concerned with what it means to baseball as a whole and what it means to the player for his team. So I don't think that's going to be a concern for MLB.
All right, Jim Beattie, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for your report. Good luck with all your stuff, and we'll check in with you hopefully in a few days.
You bet, Nick. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jim. When we come back, we'll talk with Seth Joyner, NFL stuff, and then Luke Jensen on the Australian Open. Howie Long coming up as well. Stay with us.